And good morning in my neck of the woods, but it's afternoon on the East Coast. Welcome to Vertical's Woman on the Rise program, and it's the first one of our new season. I'm your host, Celeste Duckworth, and we've been doing this series for a little bit over 5 years now. So let me tell you a little bit about Woman on the Rise before we get to our guests. It's a continuing series that can be heard on Vertical Life Radio. It's real talk about sharing challenges, successes, and successes of life while pursuing your passion and inspiring best practices with others to help lift them up. Now, experience is still the best teacher, and we would love to share the experiences of others. And our hope is to have more women of other cultures and ethnic groups to become part of our Women on the Rise program. Our goal is to reach out to women worldwide and let them know the different paths to pursuing your vision and your passion. Every woman that we've had on this program, and this is an unscripted program, have given us advice in ways that even I, as one of the founders, could not, ever think that this type of experience would come from this program. So if you know someone who wants to share her story, contact us at submissions@verticallifemagazine.com. Include a bio, a large color picture, and any links to audio or visual presentations. We look forward to hearing from you. Our sponsor today is Creative Ventures, and Creative Ventures is for all you writers out there. Creative Ventures is sponsoring a retreat in Ireland in 2020. You can't miss this. This is exclusively for writers. It's not a let's go to a class type of retreat. It's something to connect you back to your muse. You want to meet other writers and be in a more intimate setting than a writing conference. This is the retreat for you. We have a sign up going on right now, and you can find that sign up at Vertical, and that's Vertical with a K, alliance.com/vertical-creative-ventures. You can also find it at the Facebook page of Vertical Virtual Passport. So this trip and accommodations for 9 days is $2,299. $2,299. Okay, anyway, the only thing we don't supply is your airfare. It's going to be from May the 28th to June the 7th of 2020. But you got to get your deposit in by November the 30th if you want to be able to take advantage of that early bird special pricing. The pricing includes transportation and day trips, workshops, and one of the other tours in Dublin. So, hey, contact us and get on that quick. So today, I'm happy to have our guest. Our guest is a younger woman, which is wonderful because we haven't had too many younger women on our program. Her name is Nandi Dunn. She's of Atlanta, Georgia, and her mom actually submitted her name, and we were intrigued about her accomplishments as a young lady. And this is nothing new because, you know, most of us, I think of my age and maybe her mom's age, you know, we kind of take on careers that are based on maybe some of the stereotypes that we grew up with. But these young ladies, these millennials and these young ladies are coming out of school and they're saying, yeah, you know, I want to do this instead. And they're carving their own path. So Nandi is a graduate of Full Sail University in Winter Park, Florida. She graduated with a degree in film production in May of 2017. And now she's a fashion, beauty, food, and wedding photographer currently based in Dunwoody, Georgia. Now, at 22, she's worked for well-recognized networks in the industry like the Food Network, WWE Network, and ABC. And during the last 2 years, her wedding images have appeared in a number of publications, including Black Nuptials, So This Is Love, Atlanta Wedding Connection, and Borrowed and Blue. Her editorials can be found in a book of Under No Space for Words. So we want to welcome our guest, Nandi Dunn, and hopefully, you know, her mom will join us as well, because this is kind of rare that we've had, you know, a younger woman and we've had her mom. And we're really excited about that as well. So Again, our guest is Nandi Dunn. Good morning, or good afternoon, Nandi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? So I wonder if you remember meeting me when I was in Georgia.
Possibly. I'd have to put a face to a name.
Okay. Well, my daughter is Serena. And I remember meeting you and your mom. I don't think your mom didn't know that I was a host on this program when she contacted me. So I was excited because I only met you once and I didn't really know what you were involved in. So it was really exciting to get this information from your mom. So welcome today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Right. So, Nandi, we only ask, you know, three questions on this program that we talk about. We ask the questions and then we talk about other things that we, you know, have heard from you. So one of the things is, as a young woman, what made you decide that after going to school that you want to start your business rather than going off and doing some pursuits as young people your age might do?
Well, while I was in college, I had the experience of working in a professional environment, which was a lot of fun, but I ultimately decided it wasn't something I wanted to do day in and day out. I do love the film industry, and part of what started my love for the film industry was working, not working, but studying mass communications in high school. And they're two very different things. I didn't know that I was going to work 12 to 14 hours a day in film, you know, just to start off in, you know, that kind of lower level tier. And eventually you find out that it takes you a long time to work up to a higher position. And that's not something that I wanted to do. When I want to be creative, I want to have a lot of creative control and I want to be able to give my input. And when you start off as a PA or a production assistant, you have no say. You are really just a little worker bee and you are put where you're needed. And you do get to experience a lot of things around the set, but ultimately you're just there to help out, to be where you're needed, to do as you're told. And that's pretty much it. There's no creative part in that. And that is literally the opposite of why I went to school for film in the first place. So, and I don't regret why I went to Full Sail and why I decided to study in film. I use that every single day in my own photography, but I needed a place where I could just be creative, be my own boss, do things at my own pace, you know, whether that was slow, whether it was regular pace, whether that was really fast pace, and I can enjoy doing my work and do it day in and day out. So that's why I decided to, you know, start my photography business and, you know, just kind of run with it and really go off of faith and not just go toward another penny pinching job like some other kids may be doing or taking an office job where I'd have to sit behind a desk, you know, all day, every day. That's something that I would really not enjoy doing.
Well, you know, I love what you said about having that pace, because that's a perspective that even some of us, I'll say more mature entrepreneurs, are really just learning about having that perspective. I think we come out of a type of a generation where it is the worker bee. You're just working, and then when you start your own business, you're still working, and then you realize that, hey, this is my own thing. You know, I don't have to work this hard. I can, you know, like you say, take a slower pace or do the fast pace, or, you know, say I don't want to do a pace at all today, and just you know, get that creativity. So when we talk about creativity, what are some of the things that help fill you? Because you definitely have the right perspective of what an entrepreneur is at this time. What do you think you need to be able to continue to fill yourself with creative ideals to move forward in your business?
A big part of my creativity is realizing that there are multiple areas in photography that you can be in. There's real estate, there's architectural, there's weddings, which is part of what I do. There's, you know, editorials. There's all kinds of branches of photography, just like there's many different industries within, you know, one major that you might actually study in for college, like finance. For me, the biggest thing is being able to key in on maybe one or two areas that may not be paying me currently, but they allow me to be creative and they allow me to really work towards something that I want for myself in the future that eventually will be paying and that I'll still love and be able to enjoy to do at that age, maybe, you know, 20, 30 plus years down the line, and which is fashion and beauty photography, which really pulls in those aspects from film that I learned from. So for me, the most creative thing that I get to do is being able to take something that a client needs and say, okay, well, this is what you need. Let's figure out how we can put together both this creative aspect and what you need to accomplish into one image or into a set of imagery and put that out there so that you can achieve your goals. And at the same time, I'm on the inside, I'm like, okay, I got to do something really creative. Like, I'm looking at the images, I'm like, wow, that's super creative. Nobody would ever think to do that.
Right.
But it works. And it's still selling the product, or it's still, you know, it's still doing its purpose.
So would you say that some of these skills that you're learning for yourself, and as you know, continue to work, you know, increase those skills, what was it that really got you noticed with some of these recognized networks and publications?
Some of the things that I would say, okay, so with the networks, with working on the networks, that was all film and live action, and those were basically motion picture things. So with them, it was me working with lighting setups, which is what really got me into photography, because if you think about it, without light, you don't have a picture. So when I was first starting to work with WWE, I was still a production assistant, but granted, I was still in school, so I was still learning. And then eventually, as I kept working with them, because I kept coming back week after week after week, because it was a lot of fun to be, you know, in that environment, and I was working in the area that I wanted to be, I was helping create the actual picture at that time. I was helping with the lighting setup. I was giving that creative input. I was saying, okay, well, hey, instead of putting, you know, this light here this time, how about we move it behind our subject and throw a gel on it? You know, it completely changes the mood. It changes the whole setup. We're still in the same thing, but all it took was for us to move one light and put a different color temperature gel on it so that it would change that actual setup. So with working in those publications, that's what they saw. They were like, hey, she has some ideas that we can use with this. I was also fast tracking their setup in the vignette room. So it would usually take about, I would say, 4 hours for the setup when I first started working with them. I eventually moved into the vignette production. The title is Vignette Production Assistant Supervisor, something like that.
Which
basically meant that I was supervising all the other production assistants who were helping set up. So I moved from just being one of the worker bees to basically overseeing it, because I was able to fast track from a 4-hour setup to a 2-hour setup. So people were leaving set early. They were getting set up early. We were going through our rehearsals earlier. We were getting stuff done faster. That's what they were seeing. They were saying, okay, she has an eye for this. She's able to fast track our setups. We're getting things done efficiently. She knows the entire layout now. Like, I actually created a whole book that had our actual lighting setup. So when we had new people come in, I'd say, here's the book. This is where everything is set up in this room. It's got a name.
Wow.
It's got the entire grid show. I'm like, all you have to do is look at this. You're going to help out in this section. If you have any questions, look at the book or ask me.
So great initiative.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted something where I was able to, you know, say, hey, when you watch this, look at this element. That's what I did. And that's something that I was proud of. And like I said, I didn't want to work 12 to 14 hours, but that was my way of getting the experience of getting to light in different situations, which eventually led me to moving up into the production office, which is just above the staging area when you do like live productions. So I was in there with all the producers and things like that. So I kept moving up. And then eventually after graduation, I was like, okay, I get it now. Like, I want to be in control of every single little aspect. And I needed that actual experience to be able to do that, which is what got me here.
So when you decided to form your own business, because you have a business, I was very impressed with your website. When you decided to form this business, what were the steps that you took? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that have an ideal. There's a lot of young women that have an ideal, and they're trying to figure out how to go about it. Now, one of the things I love about what you said and the work you're doing and going to school and how you were able to, create some great initiative. You had some creative space, which is really great. But to be able to push yourself out of that and say, I want to create my own stuff and I want to have my own, do it my way. What were the steps that took you to start your own business, to start your photography business?
Well, the first step, and honestly, this wasn't even an intentional step. It happened in the middle of my studies. I got really fascinated with becoming the best director of photography that I could. That is a film term, otherwise referred to as a DP. We had to actually take photography classes in a couple of months of our studies. And so they gave us cameras to work with. I already had one from, purchasing one in high school that I brought with me to school. So I, kind of went a little bit above and beyond the actual requirements for the class. At that point in time, we had to go out and take photos of either our classmates or different subjects and things like that. And when I was done with that, I was still, snapping away, because I realized that photography in still form is the actual foundation for motion pictures. So photography, click one frame at a time. Motion pictures, even the lowest grade, is 24 or 29.9 frames at a second, and then it'll go up from there. So when I realized that, I was like, if I can perfect it in a still form, I can perfect it in motion pictures. So once I learned that, I just kind of started playing around more and more and more and more and more. And one day after class, a classmate, her name is Yasmin Cohen, she called me on my phone. I was actually still leaving campus, trying to get off campus. And she said, hey, you have a camera, right? And I said, yeah, I got a camera. And she's like, okay, well, do you want to help, video one of the, there was an advisor at our campus. She was getting married that day. She called me on the day of the wedding. Now, normally today that would stress me out, but then I was like, okay, sure. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll be a videographer for the wedding. And I showed up, and it was a really beautiful wedding. And I asked, I was like, am I allowed to take any photos while I'm here? Because, I was still really breaking into photography. And she's like, yeah, just be discreet about it, because they already had a photographer there and I didn't, shouldn't be in the way. So I snapped a couple of images along with doing the videography, went home, was really excited to edit them. I did. I started a professional business page on Instagram, posted a couple of them, and about a week later, someone actually contacted me and said, hey, how much do you charge for wedding photography? And I said, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, how much do I charge? And I was like, I don't know how much I charge, because I had never actually charged that at that time. Of course, I said, let me draw up a package for you. Started asking all the questions. I'd done a little bit of research because I knew I wanted to break into wedding photography. But that was that initial point where I began my business, because somebody reached out and wanted to hire me for my services. So at that point, I was like, okay. Once I got her quote, I started looking up contracts. I started looking up, okay, how much am I going to have to pay to register my business? How much am I going to have to pay in taxes? Like, what all does this consist of? And then I started really researching, what does the average wedding photographer do? Like, what are the steps that they take in order to book this client? I started really researching it. I started scouting locations. I started getting my, what I'm going to call team, because it was definitely more than three people working on that wedding, which was a whole other story, very stressful. But I started doing all the research that I needed to do within the next 2 months, because her wedding was only 2 months away from that day. And pulled it all together, did her wedding. She ended up loving the photos, even though that was the very first wedding I'd ever done. And that's really how it started. that's just how it started. That one instance that made me have to kind of jump up and get my butt moving. Otherwise, I was going to miss the opportunity.
Well, I love your, you know, your go-get it, because many people I have seen have gotten opportunities like that, and the opportunity passed by because they could not, you know, get those things together like you did. I mean, I love the fact that you did the research, and that is a really big key when you're, you know, you should never let anything stop you from an opportunity. I mean, if you got to study all night and do that research, you know, you do it, you know, if it's your fuel, your passion. One of the things I do like what you were saying when you talked about the differences between film frames and photo frames, I was listening to you. So it seems that you have a very great, you have a good way of combining the technical with the creative without being too technical, which I know some people could be so technical. It's like, okay, will my audience understand? I'm sure they just understood because I just learned something with you talking about that. Do you love the technical part of what you do?
I mean, I do, because you kind of have to in order to be successful at it. I've always been very technical. When I was in high school, I did, like I said earlier, I was in mass communications. I've never been the one to be in front of the camera. I don't like it. I don't like having my photo taken. I don't like being on camera. But I love being behind the camera and knowing how everything works, because if you don't know how it works, it can't be done well. So I'm very technical in that aspect. If you ask me, if you were in the position to ask me, okay, if your f-stop, which is how wide your lens opens to allow light to come in through the lens for your camera sensor to read it, if you ask me, okay, if your f-stop is at 2.8, how fast does your shutter speed need to be to slow down your subject to capture them in the frame? What does your ISO need to be? If you ask me all those things, I could tell you off the top of my head. I don't need a chart that has it all listed down. I know it in my brain. It's like second nature to me.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, that's good. I know. Well, I love what you're saying, though, because it is a very important part of what you do. I know some people will say, oh, my goodness, I just don't like the technical part of it. But I totally get it. I love the technical. I love doing the technical part. I love the challenge. But I love even more when you see the creative outtake or you know, results of it, you know, which is could be mind-blowing. I've seen a lot of your photos, and they are beautiful. They're very professional looking, but at the same time they're very natural, and I kind of look at photographers as people that create memories and history that talks to you, and I think your photos do that, which is, you know, which is wonderful. Tell me about some of the challenges you may have had, you know, within, you know, your own self as far as putting yourself out there, or the challenges that you had with, you know, becoming a business.
Some of my main challenges really are within putting my actual face out there, learning how to market to my ideal client, knowing who that ideal client is, because, you know, when you're first starting your business, all you're thinking about is, okay, I got to get lots of clients so that I can make the money, so that I can prove that I've had the clients. You know, you get caught up in just trying to get people to, you know, purchase your product or hire you for your services. You really just get caught up in that, and you think, okay, I need to do this, or I need to purchase this so that I can be better at this. And it's taken me a while to kind of acknowledge that, and then realize, okay, you need to step back from doing this and just focus on having better products, better services for your clients, so that they're going to just turn around and recommend you, so that you can focus more on saying, okay, these are the people that I want to work for, these are the types of shoots that I want to do, so that way you're getting that quality, so that you'll continue to bring back that quality. And that's been one of those struggles that I kind of still face on a regular basis. Sometimes I still get caught up in, okay, well, I don't have this, so maybe I feel like I can't do that. And I have to remind myself, it may be a little bit more difficult to do with what you have now, but if you do it now with what you have and you do it to the best of your ability, and you make it fabulous. So people are like, whoa, what kind of gear did you use? And you're like, nothing really. You know, you're going to continue to get that work. And then eventually you'll have the money to, you know, do whatever you want with it or whatever you thought you needed to do with it. So that was one of the struggles. And then, of course, just trying to maintain a certain brand aesthetic. I think a lot of people kind of overlook that. For me, figuring out what my brand was a big one, too, because I'm like, oh, my brand is me. But it's not really, because I didn't choose to name my photography business after my name. I wanted people to remember my photography business like as its own brand. Yes, Nandi is associated with Duvo Photography, but at the same time, it's not like it's Nandi Dunn Photography. Like, people aren't going to know the business because it has my name in it. They're going to know it because of the actual work and the product and the quality. So maintaining a certain brand aesthetic and making sure that when people see my logo or when they see my work, they go, oh, I know who photographed that. That's been a, you know, that's kind of been like one of my struggles as well. It's just kind of maintaining a certain look and an aesthetic, which can be difficult within those first couple of years because you're still trying to, you know, figure out like what you're, how you photograph things and what you like to photograph. And you kind of switch up a little bit. You kind of change your editing style a little bit. And as you get better, you start framing your subject a little bit better. Your lighting changes, or, you know, how you incorporate movement in your images changes as well.
Absolutely. And I can totally get that as the, you know, even as a challenge. Have you ever had offers come through that were so, when you first heard the offer or to do the job, that it was overwhelming and you wondered if you had enough resources or even people to help you do that? Or what have you done to overcome that if that happened?
Oh, yeah, I've had plenty of times where that's happened and I was like, oh, my God, I don't have the gear to do it, or, oh, my God, like, I don't think I have enough time to put this together. And, you know, mentally I would just, and this happens anytime I plan a shoot, my mind just goes into plan, like, what do I need to do? What kind of expenses am I going to be facing? You know, what kind of space am I going to be in? That happens all the time. It happened when I first started out. There were some jobs where I was, you know, I had to either turn them down because I knew that wasn't something that I was either capable of at the time, or I had that particular client that originally approached me decided to go with somebody else, and I kind of was like, oh, thank God, like, I don't have to worry about doing that, because I'm like, I know I'm not at that point right now. So I was happy to not have to deal with that. But now when anything like that comes my way, I just make a way, because I'm like, you know, you do it now, and even if you mess up a little bit or if it's not perfect, I learn from it that first time. The next time is always better.
That's great. That's great to think about it that way. So, you know, I've asked you about the challenges. So my next question, because this question can really be defined any kind of way, I want to ask you about what you think you consider your successes are right now, because success can be, I know a lot of people equate success to how much money I'm making, but actually I think success is really, to an entrepreneur, is that, you know, is my strategy or the way I'm going in my business, is this working for me? What does success mean to you at this time?
So success for me at this time, I measure my success in like little accomplishments. I can't base it off of just one major thing, because if I base it off of one major thing, I'd be like, I'm not a success right now. My end result is going to happen, I don't know, maybe 5 years down the line, maybe 10 years down the line, but it's supposed to be able to be carried for the next 20, 30 years or so. And like right now, my most recent success was getting published again, because I think of it as, okay, I didn't have to pay for marketing in that sense. I didn't have to go to Google and say, hey, you know, can you promote these photos for me for a certain amount of money? I didn't have to do that, because somebody from that publication, and this is a new one, it's not even on the list, from the name of the publication is called The Perfect Palette. It's another wedding blog. It's geared towards brides and grooms and people. And they said, we love your photos. It was just a sneak peek from 48 hours after the shoot that I did. And she said, can we see more of these? We love this. It would go perfect with our blog. We'd love to put your photos on our blog. It was for free. I'm like, I just got my face in front of I don't know how many more people. That's more potential clients for me. So that is success in my eyes. And then just being able to do a new shoot well where I feel proud of it. I feel like I'm like, okay, I'm getting closer to the, you know, to a better image. I feel like I'm getting more toward my style. That's more success for me as well. It's not measured on how much money I make. I mean, you know, money's great, but if I can do this for free and, you know, not have to think about the money part, I really would.
Okay. All right. Well, I definitely want to ask your mom a question. Is your mom on the line with you?
She is over here at her desk listening into the call.
I wanted to ask her because it's rare that I get a mom actually submitting their daughter, you know, to say this. Hey, my daughter, she's everything on this, you know, on this program, and I want her to be on there. What things do you think that you got from your mom that you actually used in, you know, putting your business together, or what things did she instill in you that have been very, you know, positive for you as you're doing this?
So one of them is definitely financial aid. She has helped fund getting new equipment and things like that, especially when I was, you know, just broke. Like I said, you know, it takes a couple of years to really build up the clientele, get your money going. So that's one of them is financial aid. And then, of course, she's always told me, you know, just keep working toward your end goal. Because as long as you're working toward it, like, every single day, she said, you know, you're doing good. Because there are a lot of people that have dreams and they want to get there. They're not working toward it. So it's been, you know, financial stability. It's been, you know, emotional support. Because I can tell you, there have been times where I've come home and I've been stressed out and I broke down crying because I was like, I don't think this is working. Like, I feel like I'm failing. So that's been one of them. And then of course, she's helped me. Of course, this falls under financial, but she's been helping me as far as, like, I don't have to move out, which is great. I don't have to, move somewhere else, and I don't have to worry about trying to get some penny pitching job somewhere else that would actually take away my focus from my business, because to me, that's something that's always been a negative concept for me, is that if you want to be an entrepreneur, you shouldn't have to, you know, spend time at some 9-to-5, 8-to-5, or possibly even longer just to support yourself, and you don't have as much dedicated time to go toward your business. So that's one thing I definitely don't have to do. Like, I don't have to have a part-time job, you know, as long as I'm working toward my own end goals every single day.
Well, and that's a good point that you made, because I think that for the most part, you know, I always believe that if family can help family, that's the greatest gift you have, is that for every reason that you said, exactly. But at the same time, to be showing, and I'm sure you've proved to her that, you know, you're dedicated in this and you have done this work. I'm like, you know, I'm up here listening to you and I'm like, oh my gosh, I mean, yeah, I'd let you stay home too. Just, you know, and just do what you're doing. It's really outstanding. So I have my next question to you. So what are your plans? What does your journey look like at this point? What's your next project?
So my next upcoming project is actually happening next week. And I am doing a beauty shoot. It's kind of geared toward a beauty campaign. I'm looking for a certain aesthetic is what we call it for the models, a certain look for their makeup. And we're going to get into the studio for about 3 hours. I have a makeup artist coming in. I have models coming in from the actual agency, and we're going to create some beauty images that could be used towards an actual beauty campaign. So I'm building up my portfolio that area so that one day, if, you know, the opportunity comes along where maybe there's a new, let's say, makeup brand, they just came out, they need images for their foundation, their concealer, all the different products that they offer, I can say, hey, let me put together a package for you. I can bring the models, you know, all you have to do is supply me with the makeup, you can even bring your own makeup artist. We can get you in the studio. We can get these images done. So that way I'm actually starting my actual, you know, pathway into shooting commercial beauty photography in that sense. You start off with the smaller clients and the bigger ones, then you're on to brands like L'Oreal or Maybelline, and then, you know, higher up with Bobbi Brown and things like that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So because we have a lot of listeners today, so I'm gonna let you. I'm gonna do a little promo for you. So what does it take to get you to come and do some shoots, or how can we help you get involved in some programs that are out there?
Really just takes an email. Just reach out.
Okay.
Yeah,
it just
takes the email. That's it. I mean, my email goes straight to my phone. You can give me a ring, reach out on Instagram or Facebook. I mean, I'm always online, you know, willing to answer questions. I have, you know, other peers that have asked me to mentor them as far as getting them into photography, which I'm currently doing as well. So it really just takes an email, and it doesn't matter, you know, the type of project. Sometimes, you know, people reach out to me for personalized photo shoots. Sometimes it's corporate headshots. Sometimes it's for, you know, non-for-profit things. Like, there is a gala happening this month. It is for Connection Homes, which I gladly donate, you know, some of my services for them to auction off to help them raise money to fund these children who are aging out of the foster system. So anything like that, it just takes for, you know, someone to reach out and ask a question. I'm always there to, you know, answer any questions.
Fantastic. I have a caller on the line, and I want to see if they have a comment or question. Caller, the last four numbers in your phone number is 8981. Do you have a question or comment for us?
Yes. I basically have a comment. This is Carlito. Carlito Muhammad. How are you, Sister Celeste?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. I just wanted to say that first and foremost, this is a great platform and opportunity for women to share and share their gifts and their concerns and their power, you know. And just by listening to the young sister, you know, I'm just very, very proud just to be on the other end of this airing and hear your accomplishments, but more importantly to hear how articulate you are and how really brave you are as well, just to go out there and conquer things on your own, and it's just a blessing. That's a good example, and I pray, sister, that you continue to do what you're doing, because this is the type of example that's needed right now for our millennials. And then this is the type of example actually for our older folk like myself to say that, okay, you know, they're doing something good. And just for the record, I'm all into photography and all that kind of good stuff too. So you're doing great, and you're in the right area in Atlanta, in Georgia actually, for that. So I just wanted to give you some big ups, and I'm really enjoying the show.
Okay, Carlito, thank you. Yeah, thank you for calling in, Carlito. It's been a long time.
I see
that you're in there in lights, camera, fashion, and you have your own radio program now. Oh, my God, we go back so far, don't we?
I want to say this, too, if you don't mind, that just for the record, that the works in the avenue that I did, sister, young sister, and you know what? I mess up a name. So how do you pronounce your first name again?
It's Nandi.
Nandi. Okay. Guess what? I started my career off of this same platform that you're on right now with Sister Celeste. About 10 years ago, I'm telling you, I started. I'm catapulting from her platform with Vertical, and I love it. So when I got the invitation, of course I got to come and just share my love. And then it was a great show with you, Sister Nani.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much, Carlito. I really appreciate you coming on the day.
And I continue blessings with your program and what you and all that you're doing. And we'll be talking soon. Of course, you know, throughout this next 2020 is coming. And
yes,
definitely
ma'am.
We'll be connecting, okay? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Great show.
Okay, Nandi. I have another question. My last question for you is, you know, as a young woman, a woman that's creating her own path, what advice would you give other women, certainly of some things that you've learned, that you would give to other women to inspire them and to encourage them to find their path?
I would say, first off, just go for it. Because one, you don't want to end up in a career or on a path where you are unhappy. And secondly, I would say just continuing to work towards your goals every day will get you to where you want to be, even if it's little bit by little bit, like just the really, really tiny accomplishments, even if it's writing out a business plan, or even if it's going to talk to a mentor who's in the position where you want to be, that's going to help you to get to where you want to be. Also, just building your network, like network, like continuing to network, because that's the one thing they taught me at Full Sail that sticks to this day is network when you were, I mean, anywhere. Always have business cards on you because you never know who's going to be out there, who's going to want to take down your information, or who's going to be the next person to give you that first opportunity. And, you know, I've had many, many a times where somebody, it was just some random person I was standing next to, I just strike up a conversation with them and they're like, oh, can I get your business card? I'd love to hire you. And then they would reach out maybe the next day, maybe a week from then. It could be a month or two or however many down the line, but you just have to be prepared to be in a better position than what you are now.
Oh, absolutely. Great advice. Great advice. So where do you see yourself in a long-term future? Where do you see yourself maybe 10 years down the road?
Oh, 10 years down the road, I will definitely have a studio, like an actual brick and mortar somewhere in Atlanta where I can have a actual art gallery on the bottom so I can promote other young entrepreneurs' work, something where they can, you know, auction off their work and we can give it back to the community. Hopefully I'll have some sort of mentorship program where I can get kids in there, get their hands on some gear so they can start working towards this type of career because, to be honest, there are parents out there who would much rather have their kids just go to a regular traditional four-year college and, you know, major in finance or major in, you know, language arts or something very just common. And they, that art sense that they really want to have be part of their career, they're just suppressed and they don't get a chance to do that. So hopefully, you know, that's where I will end up, is just having my own studio where I can teach others to do what I'm doing so that they can jump ahead. They can go to Full Sail or some other technical college where they can get in, they can get out and get into the field and really start working towards what they want to do. And I can pass along those tools to, you know, get that next group of kids out.
Okay. Now, Nandi, before we go, because I have to ask this, I just love the interview that we've had today. And I look forward to contacting you and getting you involved in some other things as a lot of times, as Carlito says, that people hear the interview and they want to know how to get in touch with you. And definitely for those that are listening, Nandi will be in Vertical Life magazine. You'll be able to go to the magazine and I'll have all her links for you to be able to contact her. So are you available for if a business or someone wants to fly you somewhere to do some work? Are you available for that? Are you mobile as that?
I am as mobile as it gets. When money calls, I go to where it is calling me from.
I heard that. Exactly. And I love that. Our world is getting so close together and when it comes to technology and being able to see people that we like their work, that, you know, I always ask that question because you never know. I have a friend now who started a event business, and I am so amazed when I see the places that they've traveled to do events. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, I look at the work, and I'm like, oh, it's awesome work. So Yeah, so I always ask people, are you available? Are you mobile? So thank you for letting us know that. And you, everyone out there, you hear that now. So, Nandi, I am so happy to have had you on the program. This has been a very delightful conversation, especially, you know, talking to someone, and I keep saying young, but it is, you know, we are having, you know, more and more of our young people are starting their own businesses. But to be able to actually hear someone's experience and to know that, you know, you've done the research, it's not, you know, there's no easy way, but at the same time, there's just no way to start. You just jump in and you do as you go sometimes and you do the research and, you know, and after a while it all comes together and you wonder how you did it. So, but at the same time, yes, you have a wonderful perspective on what you're doing. You know, props to mom for being so supportive to you as you go through this. And I'm sure she's going to continue to be supportive. And I hope all of you other, you know, parents that are out there listening, you know, if you see your son or daughter that are really moving in a way, it may not be the way we moved in. But you see the what's coming out of it and they're working hard, you know what? Hey, it's okay to give them a hand. It's okay to support them. I hope more and more support them because this really is our future legacy. Nandi, thank you for being a guest on Vertical's Woman on the Rise. I have really appreciated every bit of this. Yeah, I really have appreciated it. I'll be following you and thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, your challenges, and your successes. And we just appreciate having you on here. So, everyone, this has been Vertical's Woman on the Rise. We appreciate everyone who's been on the program, who's been here listening. And I hope to see you again in a couple of weeks. And thank you for being here. Our guest was Nandi Dunn. She will be featured in Vertical Life magazine, and we will be promoting that interview and this taped recording tomorrow. Thank you. Have a great day.